Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chibar. Alongside me as usual is Martin Smith. Hello Martin.
Hello.
Are you all dried off since Saturday?
Just about dry, yeah.
Would you believe that's the second home game in a row that we've gotten soaked? I think last season we've got rain
soaked
going
at all. No.
I know, unbelievable. Two games in a row. Anyway, right, Shinrar, we did think it was going to be quite a poor game, and I think it was heading that way, but it was a good 3 points in the end.
A vital 3 points as well, given on the back of the 4-4 result the week before. It was very pleasing to get the win, but also a clean sheet to boot as well.
Oh, it was a big boost for the boys, so... Straight into the game then, two changes for the previous game. Out went Fraser and Eddie, in came Brown and Ferry, which were changes we thought would happen because Brown and Ferry are pretty much stick-ons for the team sheet these days.
Yeah, I think if they're fit and available, they're one of the first people that's on the team sheet.
And Kami Eddie could probably count himself a little bit unlucky as well because I didn't think he did too much wrong in the previous game, but maybe just a tactical...
Yeah, potentially.
So, first 30 minutes, we were getting that poor game. We thought it was much and such and nothing, really. Poor, two teams that were short of confidence.
Yeah, I think, obviously, from our bottom of the table, really struggling. I think our performance against Forfar was maybe slightly in the back of the players' minds. It took a while for the game to get going. Conditions probably didn't help either, but... once we did get our groove into the game, I think it was towards the end of the first half, and then once we got the goal through Conroy, I don't think we really looked back from that point.
They were creating chances, Peter Hayward were creating chances, but nothing that you could say really troubled the keeper.
No.
There was no outstanding chance. You thought, oh, he should have scored there.
Yeah, chances from the edge of the box, and just maybe that extra pass that could have been needed to create a better opportunity for goal. But again, I think that's coming down to maybe the potential lack of confidence that they had.
A few crosses came in though, which was pleasing, but just not getting the right guys on the end
right,
of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes Conroy again started on the right, which we've said before was maybe not the best because he does like to come in, which sometimes, particularly in the first half. We saw that David Ferguson was kind of isolated on the right, and he was quite often two against one.
Yeah, you said on Saturday when we were at the game that when the ball was in midfield and you looked right, the only person that was there was Ferguson, but he'd had a lot of ground to cover because Conroy was coming in. It got a little bit congested in the middle of the park with Conroy coming in, but when he did get the ball and he's out wide and comes inside, he's a good addition to the team.
Well, it worked out in our favour for the first goal because that's exactly what he did. He did come inside and beat two or three guys, I think it was, and then got your shot off. So it was a terrific goal and a terrific finish for him.
Yes, he's benefiting from playing at a couple of games. He seems to have that bit of confidence and that bit of match sharpness that you need.
It's exactly what we're needing as well. Goals for midfield because that's been lacking. Goals in general have been lacking. So it's nice to see somebody else chip in with a goal or two, but that was pretty much how the rest of the game was going to go. Because once Peter had got on top, you could see the confidence just sort of draining with Shinrar straight away.
Yeah, it was going to be probably one of them games that they probably thought if they could get to half time and see what was happening. Crossley, as we've touched on, we had a poor result last week against Forfar. Shinrar might have been thinking, well, if they can get in at half time at worst level. Then you never know if it could happen to the Peterhead team. Fortunately, we've gone in the lead, and as I said, we never looked back from that point.
They didn't really offer nothing at all, really, first half. I can't even think of any time that they had a shot on target or a shot on goal at all. They were really, really
not
really
in the
poor.
First half, no.
They were really poor. There was a couple of crosses, wayward crosses, and that's about it. It was pretty comfortable for the guys at the back. First half, second half was much better. I don't know if Jim had kind of read the riot act, but interestingly, he said after the game though he thought they were better in the first half than they were second half. Not sure if I totally agree with that, but I think maybe our ball retention first half was was maybe what he was meaning rather than the actual overall performance. But second half, it was one way traffic, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, we played a lot better, like you said, Jim. Maybe read the right act. We looked really good second half. Passing was a lot sharper into the players, into the feet. Like you said, we looked really good in the second half.
Yeah, we created a lot of chances. You'd expect a team like that against Norwich, you'd create a lot of chances, but fortunately the chances that were being missed were still scoring the other ones, because quite often in previous games that we're missing chances, you're always at the back of your mind, you thought we could end up still losing this, but that wasn't the case. And then Conroy got his second as well, which dare we say came from some slightly controversial manner.
Yes, we were right in front of it. The Sonora players were certainly up in arms about
no
the,
pun intended.
No pun intended. they were up in arms at the referee for potential handball, shall we say?
Potential handball. The referee, he did have a poor game all in all, I think, and he missed what was quite a blatant handball. And I know we spoke last week about handball at the Wraith game.
It's good to be on the right end of the decision this time.
But this time it did clearly come off him. However, what I would say is, and it's one of those things that you're supposed to be taught as a kid, you play to the whistle, because they all stopped.
Yeah.
And then McAllister obviously carried on and slipped down Smith.
I think once McAllister played the ball off to Aidan Smith, he even had a wee glance at the referee himself. I think he clearly knew it was handball.
A guilty look on his face.
Yeah.
Aye.
But credit to Aidan Smith, he hasn't stopped. Like you said, he's played the whistle, got to the byline, good ball in, and as a result of that, we've got our second goal.
And not only is obviously Eddie Conroy get his second goal, but it was a bit of a confidence booster for Smith as well. He's got an assist, he's done really well actually to get to the byline, because he had two guys on him, and that's what we've been saying in previous weeks. It's just that little bit of confidence that he might need. Maybe the defence has switched off slightly, but as you've said, he still has to carry on, he still has to keep going.
Yeah, he's taken advantage of their lapse in concentration. Jim actually said in his post-match comments about Aidan Smith, he was pleased for him because Aidan Smith feels that he hasn't been getting the rewards for some of his play. I've said for a few weeks now, I really do like Aidan Smith, but the final product has got to be better, and we've seen that on Saturday, thankfully, for a good assist.
That was a better one. The third goal was a bit of a comedy of errors. Fish and Rar. They've let Stevenson in, and they've got the cross in, and Brown's been able to knock it in.
Yeah, it's good to see, like you said earlier on, midfielders getting goals, two for Conroy, one for Brown. In there, I think it was at the back stick, and he's looked for that ball across. Right place, right time, 3-0.
And it's one of those things, that Jim had been saying previously, that things haven't been going our way, we haven't been getting the luck. That's a huge slice of luck, and it's a huge slice of luck at the right time as well. Okay, not necessarily particularly in that game a meaning, but in terms of the season, things like this was maybe starting to turn around slightly.
Yeah, they say that decisions from referees even themselves up over the course of a season. We'll be due a few decisions after the turn of the year, that's for sure. But on this occasion, we've gotten off of the potential handball, Rory McAllister, Smith and Conroy. The slip from the left back of Sunrars allowed Stevenson to play in Scott Brown. So a lot of breaks were going for us, which we haven't had in previous weeks.
Yeah, and to be fair, Scott probably should have had a second towards the end as well. Jack Leach did terrific work in the box. Giddy keeper is due. It was a good save from him. The rebound's fallen to Brown, and he really should have just tucked it home, but he's blazed it on the bar.
Yeah,
just a composure there was needed. But all in all, it was a pretty comfortable game for us. The back four in particular looked pretty comfortable. And I would say as well that, Brown did come off. We think it was an injury. And David Ferguson then slipped back into a centre-half position. he was better, I think, this game. Whether or not that's a reflection of the opposition, or maybe, again, just him building up that little bit of confidence that he's been getting the last few games.
Yeah, a clean sheet with him at centre-half towards the end of the game will certainly help his confidence, and hopefully he can grow from that, regardless of what position he's playing in the back line.
And he was interesting to note as well that in the programme this week, or last week I should say, there was an article with David Ferguson, and I read that on the Friday, because I like to read it on a Friday night because my wife's working, so nothing better than download the programme and hear a read of that on a Friday night. But he spoke about his time at the club and how he's enjoyed playing again and getting the games, and that obviously is a reflection of what happened on Saturday, because he does seem to be playing better.
Yeah, we're seeing it with a few players now that have come in over the summer. If they're getting the regular game time, then their confidence as well as their performances are improving, and that can only benefit us.
The only sort of downside to the game, which actually maybe ended up being an upside, was Sunrar's penalty that they got, which resulted in a fantastic double save for Fleming. They just saving the first effort, but then being quick enough and smart enough to get up again and save for the rebound. And I guess that just kind of sums up how things are going for Sunrar at the moment.
Yeah, they're certainly struggling. From a PIA point of view, Greg Fleming, he actually said on Monday that he'd actually done his research, so he knew, or he was confident that he knew where the striker was going to go for goal on the penalty incident. So, you know, that's credit to him as well. He's done his own work, should they have gotten a penalty, and he's been rewarded for that homework.
He's really good. He's got a really good record with penalties as well, which is always handy. But in terms of the penalty itself, we did say earlier on that the referee had a poor game. I don't think he actually gave the penalties as such. I think it was the linesman.
Yeah.
And, okay, you'd argue that the linesman was closer to the incident. I know it was the far end from us. Nay, for the first time this season, we've debated a penalty. we've disagreed with one another. You straight away said it's a penalty, and it was clumsy by Smith.
Exactly that. I felt it was clumsy. I duck him wide, put his arms up to give him a push. We were cruising in the game. You didn't feel that Stranraer were going to get back into it. We're fortunate that we haven't conceded from it, but had it gone 2-1, you then, you know, doubt starts coming in your mind, the game then changes, you've gone from 2-0 up and cruising. I think it's a challenge that he really doesn't need to make, and that just maybe shows a little bit of naivety. You know, I know he's willing, he's trying to get back and win the ball, but you can't put your hands up, and as you said, the linesman's given it, he's looking across, he's seen it, so clumsy, yeah.
And if they get the penalty, and if they score that penalty straight away, you're again thinking about Dumbarton.
Exactly, yes.
And it's not for the first time you would think, what's going to happen here? I'd argue maybe that he was maybe playing for it, but again, we were opposite ends of where it was. But
I thought Aidan did a lot of good things on Saturday. That was just the downside.
Negative. Yeah. He's allowed one negative. It doesn't result in a goal, of course. The substitutions as well. So we mentioned Brown went off. We think it's an injury, but he then brought on Lyle and went 4-4-2, which was quite a bold tactic, really.
Yeah, he doesn't normally go two up top.
No,
very rare.
And at that stage as well, it was 2-0, it was 3-0.
I think it was 2.
Aye, so he was still obviously thinking that, you know, there's potentially more goals here.
Yeah, as you said, Lyle, come on. It's maybe one of them situations you feel if he could get a goal as well, you know, going back to that confidence thing. Had it been 4 or 5-0, I don't think any of you could really argue.
No.
I know that the first half an hour wasn't a great game of football for either team. Conditions didn't help. But had it been 4 or 5, we would have been worthy of it.
And which resulted in, Stevenson come on and he played in the wing. And then switch back to right back again. So again, there's all that kind of interchange and players playing in different positions, yeah. which can only be good, long term. So coming up, well, we said that three games that we just had in Montrose, Sunrar and Forfar, were three games that were big games, whether the teams were in about us, and we expected to get a minimum of seven points out of that. We only got four. So was that a reflection on maybe too high expectations, or was that a realistic target, the 7 points?
Me personally, I think it was very realistic. Stranraer, Forfar, Montrose. Yeah, to me, I still stand by. We're looking for 7 points. Maybe slightly too critical, but I think we should have gotten the 7 points. That Forfar result is a really poor result. I'm sure we'll look back over the season, at the end of the year, and that will be one result that really does stand out as a sore point.
The Montrose one, which was horrendous conditions again at Balmoor, it was 0-0. It was a really drab game. You probably would have come away from that thinking, that's a bad result, actually.
Given the the results that Montrose had coming into that game.
Their form was quite good, so you would take that as a... But yeah, they've lost the 4-4, we didn't want to keep Harper on it, but it was a particularly poor performance, which it came out anyway, really.
Given the Wraith, Clyde and Montrose performances, okay, Montrose maybe not so good, but that performance in at 4-4 really wasn't good, and you know, that with the poor performance, you got the result from it. Better on Saturday, and you get a positive result. So that's more the performance that we should be aiming for from the players.
So the next three that we've got taking us up to the end of the year, we've got Airdrie away, and then two home games against East Fife and Clyde. Clyde, I guess, not going too far ahead, you would think would be the easier of the three.
However,
Airdrie and East Fife, top end of the table. Airdrie, up until last weekend, were top. So these are going to be a tough run of games again.
Yeah, we've said it before, there's no real easy game in the league, and this is going into one of the more difficult periods. But like you said, the East Fife game and Clyde being at home should hopefully swing it in an advantage ever so slightly.
So to concentrate a little bit more on the next game, away to Airdrie, as I said, they were top of the table until last week when they got lost to Wraith. A couple of guys sent off in that game. Ian Murray, the manager, got manager of the month. Four wins in the league, and that included wins against Falkirk in the East Fife and winning the Cup. So 100% record in November, which got them to the top of the table. So it's a fantastic run of results that they've had. But it's just that the thing of sort of whoever goes top in this league seems to then hit a bad run.
Yeah,
we're maybe playing them at the right time then.
Yeah, it's quite a nice start that you've picked out the last couple of weeks, that the team that does go top seem to have a poor result and end up not being top. It seems like nobody wants to be top of the table at this moment in time. It just shows you what a couple of good results can do for you. Airdrie were sort of mid-table at the end of October. They've gone this really good run, as you've said, and they're finding themselves up at the top end of the table. So, you know, if we can do a similar sort of run and try and push us into that promotion playoffs, you know, that would be a fine Christmas present.
I'm not sure how well fancied they are for winning the league, but they've got one of the biggest squads in the league, so they've got plenty of players to choose for. Dale Carrick, he got the player of the month as well with his performances last month. They've got a lot of goals in their squad as well. Callum Gallagher sitting in 11 goals, Carrick sitting on 9, Callum Smith chipping in with 6 as well. So there's a lot of goals in that team, in that squad.
20 goals with our two strikers isn't a bad return for any
exactly
team.
What you're looking for, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be a difficult team, especially going down there. We're in for a tough game, I would say.
The one thing that will probably stand out the most is the fact that they're playing a plastic pitch at the Excelsior Stadium. So with Simon Ferry being dropped for the game against the Forfar because of the plastic pitch, and more specifically because of it was a frozen plastic pitch. What's he going to do this time then? I guess he's going to wait until Saturday morning before he decides.
Yeah, probably checking the weather condition. It's one of them. I like Simon Ferry playing. I prefer him playing every game if we could, but obviously the plastic pitches dictate otherwise. It's one of them, do you risk him and then potentially have him out for 3-4 weeks thereafter, or do you play him in the games on the non-artificial surfaces and get the reward from him playing in them games. It's a decision that Jim will probably weigh up, as you said, Saturday morning, depending on the weather.
Because along with Ayrsley, there's obviously Forfar, and there's a couple other ones, it's plastic pitches as well. So you're taking potentially four or five games again out of him.
Yeah.
He's going to play every home game if fit and not suspended. But a lot of these teams are playing plastic pitches, so it takes away, dare I say, your best player.
Yeah. It like I say, it's one of them. If we could play, brilliant, but I would rather not risk him and potentially pick up an injury, which means he could be out for 5-6 weeks, because he's a very important player, and it would be disappointing to lose him for any period.
And if we do lose him, if he's not going to play, hopefully Gary Fraser's going to be back. So
yeah.
I mean, you're going to lose Simon Ferry, but you're going to bring in Gary Fraser. I would be quite happy with that.
Oh yeah, no issue with at all
that, because I think, although yeah, we did win 3-0 Saturday, you just missed that little bit of something for him as well. Sometimes he set pieces as well.
Any one of the three midfielders, Brown, Fraser and Ferry, any one of them drops out and is replaced by another one, it's a very adequate replacement for whoever drops out. So it's a good trio that we've got there.
Yeah. The referee on Saturday, which is an interesting one, is a guy called Lloyd Wilson, a name that might ring a bell to a certain Blue Toon striker. He was the guy that sent off Rory McAllister earlier on in the season.
Yes. Let's hope we are not in the same position with any comments from any player towards a referee. Let's not give him the opportunity to send anyone off.
He's refereed Peterhead twice already this season, both away from home. Once at Stranraer, as I said, when he sent off McAllister, and once away to East Fife. So he knows the players, and the players know his style, I would hope, by now, as well. So hopefully he keeps his cards in his pockets. I would assume that McAllister would start again, because his form has been quite good recently.
Yeah.
Although maybe he hasn't been scoring. He's
the link-up play. Well, the wider game of his has been good.
Yeah. So we're interested to see what Mr. Wilson does this time round. So as I said, we've got Ayrsley coming up, and then we've got the back-to-back home games against East Fife and Clyde. Points prediction for those next three games. They are going to be difficult. Would we expect anything from Saturday then?
Never like to go into a game thinking that we'll get no points.
Would a draw be a good result?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Certainly, I would take a draw right now out of the Ayrsley game. Yeah.
Right. So we'll take a draw against Ayrsley, and then the home games against East Fife and Clyde. Two wins, a win and a draw.
A win and a draw. So I think our Ayrsley, East Fife and Clyde, 5 points would be a good return.
So I'm assuming we're drawing against East Fife and winning against Clyde.
Yes, we always like to
beat Clyde. Against Clyde. Love to beat them. So as long as we stuff Clyde, this is what else happens the rest of those next three games. Excellent stuff. Right, so prediction, draw for Ayrsley, score and draw, or a 0-0?
I will go a score draw. I think to keep Dale Carrick and Callum Gallagher quiet, it will be difficult, but at the same time I feel that we could maybe get them on the break with the pace that we've got. So yeah, a score draw for me.
And we're assuming that he's going to stick with the same kind of formation. He's not going to tinker about with a back three or a back four.
You never know with Jim. It could be a back three, but here's hoping.
I guess his formation, his tactics will be determined if Simon Ferry's playing or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so score draw. I think that's probably as optimistic as we can be, a score and draw for that, and then on to the two home games after that. So I think that'll do it for us for this week again. So again, thanks very much everybody for listening, and as usual as well, thanks to Martin for being here. And just to say again, the Blue Toon podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. So thanks again, everybody. Thanks to our sponsor, and we'll see you again. Cheers. Bye.